So we are back in John 15 this evening. Here's just a very brief review. I think it's been a couple of weeks since we've been here. The key word, of course, in this text is to abide. And to abide means to remain in. I think it would be fair to translate it to live in or to live with. And abide is a verb. It's an action word. And so that means it's something that we can do, and it's something that can be done to or for us. And so Jesus said in John 15 in the fourth verse, "Abide in me and I in you." So at that point, if you're thinking carefully with me, it's not simply a verb, but it's a command verb. And so the idea of abiding in Christ is an order for every follower, every good soldier of Christ Jesus. And so let's, if you're with me in John 15, let's read the first 11 verses that include Jesus' allegory of the vine and the branches. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Well, we began to apply Jesus' command the last time that we read these verses together, but let's dig more deeply into this idea of how we obey and apply his command to abide. And so I'm going to frame it up around three questions tonight that I ask when I think about a topic like this. And so I just assume we all ask similar kinds of things. The first question is going to be, how do I begin to abide day by day? The second question I ask is, does abiding mean that I am always aware, that I am always sensing Christ's presence in my life? And the third question I want to talk about tonight, because I think it helps us kind of expand our perspective on this, where else is abiding taught in Scripture? And the reason I ask that question is to clarify for myself, is this really that essential of a topic? So we'll ask those as we go, and we're going to go back and start with the question, how do I begin to abide? And I want to preface that with a theological certainty. This is absolutely true for every believer. And the certainty is every Christian is in Christ. You just are. And in fact, this idea in the New Testament of being in Christ is kind of a shorthand or abbreviated description for the Christian life. If you are saved, if you view your salvation as kind of like owning a fire insurance policy that you tuck away and you're going to pull out at the pearly gates, you're really missing the depths of what it means to be born again and a follower of Jesus. The better picture is to be every believer is in
Christ, abiding with Christ, walking with Christ, living with Christ, and so on. And so each of us, and the Bible tells this unambiguously, each of us who have trusted Christ are in Christ. And so the New Testament teaches us that the work of the Holy Spirit is to place a born again, a new Christian man or woman into Christ at the time of rebirth. The Bible calls that the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit happens once to you when you are born again, and the Holy Spirit takes you at rebirth and places you into Christ. And so every believer is in Christ. But having said that, here's what I will also say, and each of us, I think, would raise our hand and say, I get this, is that the quality, or maybe we should say the degree of your daily experience or your sense of your relationship to Jesus varies from day to day or season to season. In other words, you don't always feel that you're abiding closely. You don't always feel like you're walking consistently. And you look around, and some people seem to be walking more closely and consistently than you do. And you think about your week, and you think, well, some days I felt or I sensed that I was closer to Christ than others. So even though all of us are in Christ, yet we don't always sense that in our daily experience. And I know if your palms are getting sweaty with this conversation about Christian experience or sense, I mean, if that whole kind of subjective thing makes you kind of uneasy, and I mean, it makes me uneasy at times, then I get that. But I also think here's the reality. We all think about these ideas. We all wonder about the days we don't sense ourselves abiding with Christ. And we all long to know with certainty, day by day, that we are walking in close communion with Him. I mean, don't you want to sense that? Don't you want to know that's true? Well, I'm going to suggest tonight that abiding could be said to grow out of three key activities that are each rooted in faith, not in feelings, but in faith. The idea of relating, of rejecting, and receiving. And these are not difficult ideas, but I think we'll find them to be helpful ideas. You abide, you sense, you experience the abiding life as you begin to consciously relate your daily experiences, whether it's a good experience or a not so good experience. You relate what's going on in your life to Christ and to your relationship to Him. And so as you are going through the day and you experience a trial, or you experience a blessing, or you have a question, you know, don't go out and try to tackle that thing apart from the idea of your faith in Christ. Relate what's going on in life. Consciously discipline yourself to relate what's going on in your life to your relationship to Christ and the idea of abiding. And so ask yourself, well, what biblical principles do I understand that relate to walking in Christ in the situation that I'm in? The need for faith, the need for prayer, the kind of prayer to pray, the need to be in the Word. And then as you understand these things, as they come to mind, we'll apply them, obey them. And not only apply them, and this is important because God loves faith, not only do what those principles suggest, believe them to be so. If God promised you wisdom, if you would but ask, James 1 and 5, then ask for that wisdom and trust that He will give it. Don't walk away from your prayer closet wondering if God will keep up His end now that you've kept up yours. And then as you look around you day by day, see God's hand at work. I mean, don't look at your world and don't look at your circumstances from some kind of secularized perspective that never understands how God works in the ordinary world through his providence. See him at work in your trials. See him at work in your blessings. Understand and think about, okay, how is he working in an irritating relationship? Don't just be irritated. Think about, okay, how is God working in this? So see, practice. I'm not telling you to make stuff up, because this is going on. Practice understanding the providence of God in your daily life. Give him the credit, because he's doing it anyway. And as you do, speak to him in prayer about what he's doing. So the idea of relating means relating your daily experience, the most ordinary ones, the most spectacular ones, the good ones, the not so good ones. Learn to relate them to the Christian life through the Word of God. Secondly, you abide as you carefully reject worldly, fleshly attitudes that rise up and tempt you. Now, why is that a part of abiding? I mean, I understand I'm not supposed to sin, but specifically, what does resisting temptation and rejecting sin, what does that have to do with the abiding life? It's because sin grieves and disbelief quenches the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible's very clear on that. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. We actually saw that a couple of weeks ago in Ephesians, and disbelief quenches his spirit. You see that in the Thessalonian letters. So keep short account with sin. Resist it. Reject it. If you fall into it, get out of it and confess it. Number three, you abide as you receive, as you trust, as you accept and believe his promises. Accept them that they are always true. Accept that they are true for you personally. I mean, think about this as we talk about abiding. Jesus promised, and lo, I am with you always. That's an abiding kind of a verse, and that's a promise. And that's a promise that he made to the church through the apostles. Do you think you could think about that from day to day? And this one goes with it. I will never fail you nor forsake you. That's a pretty unequivocal, categorical promise, right? Do you suppose Jesus meant that for only a few of us? Or for all of us? And so relating, rejecting, receiving, I mean, it's not very many ideas. But, I mean, when you first kind of start to process all of this stuff, maybe it seems kind of difficult to implement consistently and daily, especially because you do have the rest of your life to juggle, right? So I got to keep all this stuff in my head in addition to everything else I'm doing so I can experience the abiding life. Seems like quite a bit. It's a little overwhelming, even if it is only three words, Craig. And even if you did alliterate them with those R things. Do you remember how overwhelming it was to learn to drive a car? I mean, I don't want to make this too mechanical, but I think it's not a bad illustration. You know, sorting out all of the different tasks that it took to drive a car, and then not only kind of getting those tasks identified, but then there's techniques for executing them, right? How much brake? How soon do I start braking? Same idea with the gas. And if you get those two things confused, you're in really deep trouble. What about all that stuff on the dashboard? And I mean, that gets worse with every model year, right? Knobs, dials, lights, gauges, Bluetooth? And then when you start to kind of start to get your own car figured out, you get out on the road, then there's all those other cars. And then somebody says you need to drive backwards here. How do you ever learn to drive a car? You just put it into practice. And pretty soon, you are able to drive down the road without focusing on every little knob, dial, and wheel. So trust Christ. Trust Christ as you obey what you know to do, and then trust that he is present. Trust that he keeps his promises. And if you keep at this, you will understand. You will understand by faith in his promises. that you are abiding, and you will begin to see, and I'll use this word carefully, you will begin to sense that you are walking with him closely day by day. These principles of abiding absolutely work for a new Christian. This is not grad school Christianity. This is for all of us. But I will say this, as you begin to see Christ's hand in your life and trust that his promises are true and resort to him hour by hour, as you mature in Christ, this idea of abiding grows and deepens even more. And again, don't forget the essential role of the Word of God in growing and in experiencing. I mean, verse 7, I hope you're still in John 15. Look at verse 7. Says, if you abide in me and my words, the Word abides in you. So the Word of God is essential in experiencing daily abiding. And oh, by the way, I've just got to point this out before we move on. Back up in verse 2, don't forget, although it sounds a little daunting, that abiding and growing includes pruning. In fact, it might be a bad sign if you never see God pruning you. Well, next question. Does abiding mean that I am always aware, that I am always sensing Christ's presence? Well, there's a couple of ways to think about that. So in one sense, you might say yes, as you look backwards over your life and you trace how Christ has always been guiding and protecting you. So as you look backward through your life through the lens of providence, you understand in those circumstances how your good and wise God was guiding you and was with you day by day. I mean, it's kind of like that really famous poem. You know which one I'm referring to? Footprints in the Sand. That's kind of like it. You look back and you understand that the footprints are there because the Father was always there. And he has been there. I mean, he has been with you every step of the way. And you can deduce by that, if he has been there every step of the way in the past, then what is true today and what will be true tomorrow? He will continue to be. But I also want to say this, as again we become a little less just theological, but bringing the theology into daily experience, it is simply true that day by day and moment by moment, you may not be aware of him. You may not sense that you are abiding, but that doesn't mean that you're not. It's so important to say, just because you don't sense it doesn't mean that you're not. And it's because we walk by faith, not by sight. And usually what is going on there for the faithful believer that cares about this, if you're not sensing him day by day, it's usually because the right responsibilities and the necessary circumstances of the day require your full attention. And so that's what you sense. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is just life. Now, it could be true that maybe you're not enjoying the presence of Christ because sin in your life has grieved the Spirit. And that is wrong. But often it's simply because the experiences of life that God has charged us with require our full attention. Famous Bible teacher of another time, G. Campbell Morgan, illustrated this reality by describing his love for his wife, Annie. I think this is a really good way to think about it. G. Campbell and Annie had a wonderful relationship. And he would write that his love for her was constant. It was unabating. It was unchallenged. But he would have to admit that he simply couldn't think about her with every thought and breath of the day. Because life and vocation had their undeniable demands on his limited attention and resources. Does that seem clear? It seems clear to me. But when nothing else demands your attention, when your thoughts and affections are free to go where they will, then where do they tend to go? Will they sooner or later go to Christ? When your soul has questions, who do you ask? Do you just ask yourself? Do you ask the world? Or do you ask your Savior? Do you talk to yourself? Or do you commune with Him?
The author of the book that I've been reading as we go through this, Dr. James Roskup, in his book Abiding with Christ, has this to say: even in the thick of all of these activities, the believer's life is permeated by Christ, so that he often thinks of Him, communes with Him in his heart's affection, prays to Him for guidance, and lives before Him for His glory. He learns that the busy work of the day need not intrude between him and Christ, but may itself, those activities, be filled with Christ, with whom he may share everything in life. And you can share everything with Christ.
So no, you won't feel that relationship in that sensory way, day by day. You can't. We're not made that way. Our life is not made that way. But we can gravitate, I guess we could say it this way, we can gravitate towards Him constantly. We can be wanting and tending to move in that direction as we grow. And we can know by faith, as we look backwards over our life, that He was there, and therefore we can know that He is here. Is this just the only place in the Bible where you find this idea about abiding
kind of tucked away under the leaves and branches of this story of the branch and the vine? Where else is this taught? I mean, is this really an essential idea, or can I do without this and move on? You can't do without this. You cannot do without this. You cannot live a joyful and fruitful life without experiencing the abiding, living in the abiding life. And abiding is not simply critical, but I would support that by saying abiding is synonymous with other illustrations or ideas or teachings in the Bible. Abiding is synonymous. Well, here's one that we know about. It's synonymous with walking in Christ, which we have seen repeatedly in Ephesians, and it's elsewhere in the New Testament. Abiding, I would say, is synonymous with being Spirit-filled. Abiding is pretty much the same as growing in Christ, maturing in Christ. To abide, to live in Him, is clearly not an isolated or peripheral New Testament concept. I mean, consider, for example, we read this earlier, the writings of the Apostle John. And why I think this is important is because John writes about this teaching, and then 60 years later, he is still thinking about this teaching, having heard it in the upper room that night before the crucifixion. Decades later, it still informs his thinking and his teaching. 1 John chapter 2, we read it tonight. Let's read just a portion. Actually, we read verses 1 to 6. But down in 1 John 2, verse 28, we read, "Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from His name and His coming." He thought this was an important idea and teaching decades later. Abiding is the same as being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and 18. What does it mean? What does that mean? To be Spirit-filled means to be controlled and powered by the Holy Spirit day by day in life. And the ideas are clearly similar, abiding and Spirit-filled. The Spirit bears His fruit in us, Galatians 5.
But here in John 15, Jesus says abiding produces fruit in us. The Spirit leads us in Romans 8. And compare the idea of the daily leadership of the Spirit, of living with, of remaining with, of abiding in Christ. Similar truths go along with the New Testament teaching on walking in the light. Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at it this morning, of walking worthy of the gospel. Ephesians 4 and 1, of walking in love, of walking wisely or circumspectly, of walking in wisdom. And we know what walking means. It's that metaphor that suggests your lifestyle. Well, that's what abiding suggests. It means that we live in, that we remain in Him day by day. I mean, the New Testament is really just using different illustrations for the same vital truths. For example, abiding and walking, the vine and the light. And walking in the light, and Jesus is the light of the world. Walking in the light is essentially the same as being Spirit-filled and abiding in Christ. It is an essential teaching of the Christian life. We've kind of touched on this, but let me point out that with all of these other pictures, one of the constant and essential themes in all of them is the idea of fruit. Life with Jesus, the abiding life, the Spirit-filled life, the walk in Christ bears fruit. Jesus said, "He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." That was verse 4 in tonight's text. And then you can compare that to verse 2 and verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 8. Paul writes about the fruit of light. We saw it this morning in Ephesians 5 and 9. Elsewhere, he writes about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And so abiding equals being Spirit-filled, equals walking. And all of them are related to the idea of maturing or progressing in the faith. And again, the good news is that the abiding life is possible for any of us, whether we are new, whether we are babes in Christ, or whether we have been believers for many years. All of us can abide. All of us are called to walk. All of us are commanded to be filled, to be controlled by the Spirit. And so my ideas earlier of relating and rejecting and receiving work for everybody who is in Christ, whether they are a recent convert or have been in the faith for many years. That is true. But the good news is that the more mature you become in Christ, the more you will experience communion with Him in ways that are richer and deeper and warmer. You will. Both new and mature Christians will abide, but the outcome day by day, I believe, will be more fruitful and warmer in the more mature. It's kind of like weightlifting. When you start, maybe you kind of sweat and strain, and you can bench press 100 pounds. 6 months later, you strain and you sweat. It feels like the same amount of effort, but you put up 150 pounds. I mean, whether it is the first day or 6 months later, you use the same techniques, and you are giving it your all. But as you keep working at it, it does just get better, right? Until you drop it on your head. No. So, beloved, we can all grow deeper and richer and fuller with Him. And we should expect to experience this closer, abiding, ever more closer and warmer as we go and as we grow. Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Can I say that again? This is a neat verse. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The first half, Paul is reminding us of the theology. If we live in the Spirit, it's just a statement of truth. It's like me saying at the first of the hour that every believer is in Christ. Well, every believer has the Holy Spirit living within he or she. However, there is the application that goes with it in the second half of his verse. We are responsible, and this is in the grammar of a command, we are responsible to walk in the Spirit. If it is a theological truth that we live in the Spirit and He lives in us, then it is a command that goes with us, with it, to walk in Him. So this abiding theology, to live in the Spirit, like the first half of that verse, doesn't just happen without your participation, your walk. And so Paul is calling us to strive so that our practice and experience measure up to our theological position. So as we go tonight, why don't you take those three key words with you? To relate everything in life. Learn to see everything that happens to you day by day in relationship to your relationship to Christ. Relate life to Christ. Number two, reject. Reject temptation, because reject temptation to sin, because sin threatens the abiding life. It quenches, it grieves the Spirit. And finally, receive. In other words, trust. Trust in Jesus' promises that you can abide in Him. Believe. You know, I'm not talking about this prosperity gospel kind of believing, but just know that it's true and live in its truth. Believe that He is with you always, even until the end of the age. Each one of these requires faith. You must trust in Jesus to abide as you seek to abide in Him. Beloved, no Christian, I want to say it again as I close, no Christian that I've ever known wants to have a superficial relationship with Christ. And I would say that no Christian needs to. So let's pray. Father, I ask that You would help us to abide. Father, help us to abide, and as we follow You, help us to know that we are abiding by faith, by the clarity of Your promises, by the fruit that Your Spirit produces in our life, our love, our joy, and by the growing daily warmth of our communion with You. Bless us in this way, we pray. Amen.